This is the Empower Podcast. Released March 20th, 2024. Hey. Episode 662. The Non-Stinky Car.
Welcome to the Amp Hour. I'm Dave Jones from the EEV blog.
And I'm Chris Gamble of Contextual Electronics.
Now a proud EV owner.
I am.
One of us.
I was actually trying to think about like when did the zeitgeist shift when it was like, I don't know. I looked around today. I was at like an event today and there was just EVs everywhere. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. I'm middle of the pack.
Yeah, but right? Unfortunately you're coming down the downside at the moment because don't you know EVs aren't popular anymore?
Well, that would fit the trends of the rest
they
of my
are
life.
On and the trend is that you, like all these automotive manufacturers now going, we don't really want to go down the EV path anymore.
Yeah, no, that's a good big thing.
And in fact, the
thing that I ended up getting was a discontinued vehicle.
Oh, it's actually a discontinued model, is it? Okay.
Yeah, they're very likely going to bring it. Yeah, so I got a Chevy Bolt 2023 1LT. So basically almost a two-year-old model because I think they're already into 25s on some models or maybe they're
– Oh, God.
They always wait early, do that super early.
Yeah.
But like, you know. Super simple bottom line kind of thing, but like great range, and like so they basically discontinued the line Chevy has.
So they don't make the Chevy Bolt anymore.
That's right.
And okay.
And also to disambiguate, they I think a really terrible naming choice. Chevy also used to make a Volt with a V.
Yes,
that was actually
with a V.
Early
that's
hybrid,
right. That was an early hybrid. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And that was, yeah, so that was like...
I think 10 years ago plus or something. Yeah,
it was,
yeah, that was
yeah,
a long
at
time.
Least. And it was, I think it was actually an electric motor in that. And then there was a very small battery pack with only like 20 miles range. But then the internal combustion engine just charged the battery.
Charges the battery. I think that might have been the go for that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, rings a bell.
Yeah. So then that's long gone. And then the Bolt's been all electric. And now it's discontinued. But they said... Basically, they're just like refactor. They're probably going to reintroduce it in 25 with like the new skateboard design that's going on all the Chevys. So
right, okay,
yeah.
Yep.
So
for those who don't know, the skateboard that you're talking about is basically you build the chassis. It's basically a battery with wheels, and then you
build the
car around that. So it's a common platform you can use for different models, I guess, and you just build the car around that. So, yeah.
Right. Mm. Yeah, so, and I think there are new battery chemistry, new controls, whatever. So then, they add all the fancy kit around it, like the infotainment and, you know, whatever the body's going to be. You know, they all end up looking very similar. But then I think they have different options within that battery family. You know, maybe they double stack the batteries or they have different motor sizing, whatever. It is interesting because, like, you look at, like, a kind of the new – more modern electric vehicle manufacturers, they seem to be very kind of not one note, but like they because they're often like Tesla's very vertically integrated.
Yep.
There's only four models. And even that took a long time to get there. Right. It's not like they're
exactly.
Like Chevy has different brand, even within Chrysler Chevy, I think it is.
Yeah. They have different sub brands and things.
Sub brands. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're huge. So
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yep. So
the important
question is, Dave. Yeah.
How much boot space? How many liters? That's all I care about. How much shit
liters.
Can I carry?
Oh, that is not Dave. Number one, this may be a surprising thing for number one thing for me was how do the car seats fit in there? Is actually my current life stage
the child
right
seats.
There.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, that's all I really care about. And I'm not driving much. I mean, I'm going to speak in freedom units this entire time, but I only really drive like. I'm mostly just on daycare pickup and drop off. Like that's pretty much the driver of a lot of my stuff, which is like maybe 5 miles each trip. So like 10 miles a day. And this thing has a 259 mile range.
Yeah. Right.
So,
You'll work from home. So
I work from home. Exactly. Yeah. I take the kids to daycare. I come back to home, you know, I kind of feel guilty about it sometimes.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you need to get an office like me. Well, you can sort of
I really
like,
don't.
Separate.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I mean, I love it here. It's great.
All right.
Everything's here and, you know, my kitchen's here. I don't, my garbage room is just my garbage.
Yeah, but you don't have a dumpster room. Like I've got.
I mean, you go to an office, but then you don't actually, I mean, you like talk to people, but like you're not there to see people, right?
No. I see people in the lift and stuff. Doesn't that count? Doesn't that count for social interaction?
I mean, yes, it does. I guess it maybe is more than I have.
Right. Yeah,
people walking their dogs out the window. That's true. Does that count?
Right. That's true. I am currently more social than you are. There's something.
Wow. So, didn't expect to have that today.
Yeah. There you go.
There's the low point.
Oh, boy. So how does this thing drive? You actually like it? Do you enjoy it?
It's great. Yeah. I mean, I have very few reference points. So I have bought one other car myself. This is the second car I've ever owned.
Right.
Now in my 40s. and the last car I bought was 20 years ago. And so, and then I did 8 years without a car because I was in Chicago. Yep. Like, you don't need a, you shouldn't
right.
have,
no, 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 you shouldn't like driving, have a car should, in the middle of
having
Chicago.
Having a car in Chicago is kind
suicide,
of a waste.
Suicide, right?
Yeah. And so, yeah, I haven't had a car in a while and it's lovely to get back to having a car.
Cool.
Yeah. The only thing I'm worried about is, I was charging the car the other day, and it's on the same circuit as – it's not a dedicated circuit. I use just the 110
charger. The slow charger. You're just using the overnight.
Which is fine.
Trickle charger. Exactly. Yeah, if you're only doing 10, 20 miles a day, it's more than enough just plugging the slow charger overnight.
Yeah.
You know, easy.
I am excited that the charger that comes with it, it has a 240 converter. I don't know if that's – is that a normal thing? I don't know like if your car – or you guys are 240, never mind. You guys are 240 to start with. I got there. So in the US, at least, I'm not sure if it's a standard thing, but it has just a secondary like plug. It's a plug pack, basically, like you have for your laptop.
Okay.
And it has a 240 attachment that you can just plug into a 240 outlet.
Right.
But I don't have one of those installed.
Yeah,
so
but
I
that's still
installed.
Only the same. I mean, to us, that is a trickle charge. Like 240 doesn't mean anything to me. You got to tell me the amperage. Is it like a 15 amp outlet or something?
Right. It's the 11 kilowatt max. So
it's
that
11
is.
Kilowatt. Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. So that so is a serious high power.
It's technically it's a level two. Yeah, it's a level two charger.
Yes, that is a level two charger.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Yes, exactly. But it is with the plug pack. So if you have the right, you know, and it's weird here in the US too, because we have different plug types for 240 based on,
so
on the amperage.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think this is basically what I usually refer to as the dryer vent, the dryer plug.
Right. The
because
dryer port.
That's tons of power,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
So it is
capable of
doing that.
Are you going to install a line, like a circuit for it?
Well, that's what I was getting at. So I had my thing trickle charging plugged in, whatever. And then the garage door is on the same, the garage opener is on the same circuit. And I popped a breaker because I was like, you know,
just
the motor
by opening
turned
the garage door, it
well,
popped.
I was charging at the max level. So I was charging at 110 volts at 12 amps max. There's like a switch. You can do 8 amps, 12 amps. And then, I think the draw, I think there's two things. One, I think the draw, the instantaneous current when I was turning on the garage door motor, might have made it pop. And I think the breaker, that circuit has had a lot of problems. And then the breaker itself, I think, is actually just on the edge of like failing. Like maybe there's oxidation or something like that.
You Yanks are so weird. I mean, 110 volts at 12 amps, that is only 1300 watts.
Yeah.
Our standard outlet here is 2400 watts. Like everyday outlet is 2400 watts. That's just, I don't understand a 1.3 kilowatt outlet. That's just like, that's not a thing here.
Wait, what did you say it was? What was the?
Well, you said 110 volts, right? Times 12 amps.
Yeah, no. So the breaker's rated at 20 amps.
Oh, okay, right.
So there's different size breakers too, like you guys have, right? So
talking in terms of wattage. It's only 1300 watts. Jeez.
Well, not if it's 20 amps breaker, though.
It's
a 20, it's a 20 amp breaker, so that's...
Okay, so it's 20 amp
breaker. That's 2400, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the standard, like a standard lighting breaker, this is me. I have never, ever read the National Electric Code, NEC. Like, so take all this with a grain of salt. This is my anecdotal evidence looking at breakers. But the standard like lighting breaker is like 15 amps. Then some of the upsized ones, I think
that's
you have
a
to have
lot
the right,
for a light breaker. Wow.
Yeah.
I think ours are like 8 or something.
Okay.
Isn't but you guys much are for a light
double,
circuit.
Right? I mean, so everything, double everything, right? So that's actually the same. It'd be 16, right?
In terms of power,
Yeah, exactly. So, and then some of the breakers, I think you need to have the upsized Romex, like the thicker wire, basically.
Okay.
And then you could do a 20 amp breaker.
Right.
And then if you're past that, then you're into the double breakers. Like there's no 30 amp breaker that goes onto a single slot, like a single phase.
Okay.
If you upsize from that, I think you switch to 40 amps and maybe there's even switches to 30 amps. And then, but then you have to have two phase basically.
Yeah. So you got to go to your 240 volt feed instead of your,
for
anything high power. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah. And so
interesting.
I think, so I need to call an electrician. I'm very, I've touched a bus bar by accident before.
You're scared of mains, same way I am, right?
Yeah. It's a healthier fear where you are than than where I am, but I'm just a chicken, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's So, anyways, I got to call them about this thing. I just want to get it resolved correctly, and they got to pull permits here if you're doing a certain amount of work. So I'm just gonna pay through the nose and have a outlet installed. So
bend over and take it. Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. You know what? I'll go earn it back making tiny electronics.
Right. Oh boy. Yeah. So you're enjoying the ride. You're enjoying the vibe. You're enjoying the silentness. The zero exhaust.
It's
magic. Awesome.
Yeah. Getting back. Yeah. There. I mean, I was telling my wife about what you had said about like the our previous car, which we still have, is the stinky car, right? Like
the stinky car. Yeah, we literally call ours the stinky car because that's the first thing I noticed when I got an EV is that there's no smell. Well, you know, because you tend to tune out the smell, right? So you get used to it, and then you go and drive the old stinky car again, and the first thing you get, you turn on the, you know, the wind's blowing the wrong way and just wafts through the cabin with all the, you know, exhaust stream, you know, because you're trying, you know, you start the car up, you're still trying to get kids in and everything. So it's still pumping out the crap out the back and the doors are open and the cabin's full of bloody crap. So it's crazy.
Yeah. And it actually gets cold here. So then you really like see it when it's cold here. You really see that exhaust, right?
Yep.
And not that it's
that
smoke,
is not a thing here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, see your dashboard melting.
Yep. Yeah. Oh boy.
You guys didn't have any fires this year, right? Like big fires like you had?
No, not really, no.
Good. Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
Yep. Knock on wood.
Yeah, that's great. Yep. Nah. Cool. That's great. Yeah. It's been very pleasant. The one pedal driving is like a thing. I don't know if that's a thing on every car, but I've getting used to that. That's cool.
Yes. Does yours have the flappy paddle brakes? The flappy paddle.
No, I don't think so.
No? Okay. Mine's got the flappy paddle. So I can brake with my fingers by braking on the paddle on the steering wheel. Yeah.
You know, there's a button that has a battery symbol on it. I wonder if it's that.
Right. Okay.
If it's like to put it back in the battery.
Okay.
Huh. Yep. I should try that. I should drive this car more, I think.
Right. Yeah. So I mostly try and drive our EV with just the accelerator pedal, and of course if you take your foot off the accelerator then it's regen braking, but then the flappy paddle can give extra regen braking, so I use my fingers to on the steering wheel to like slow down or stop at the lights and things, and I can almost drive everywhere with just the flappy paddle. I don't touch the brake pedal usually, so
that's great.
Cool.
Yeah, so overall, very, very positive experience. I'm excited for this future. I was trying to tell my mom, I was just telling my folks, and they were asking, like, well, should we get one? I was like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's just a pretty easy thing to do. Like plug-in hybrid is, like, my, I think, it very easy suggestion these days. I hope we see more.
Yeah, but there's it totally depends on your lifestyle. I mean, if you don't have the lifestyle to support it, don't buy an EV. They're not for everyone. But I don't know anyone who bought an EV and then just goes, oh, I regret buying this EV. It's a piece of shit. You know, it's like, you know.
Well, that's why I said like plug-in hybrid. I feel like it's like the kind of the best of all worlds.
It's probably the best of all worlds. And that's why we were talking about the automotive manufacturers before, how they're not going away from EVs. They're just going away from pure EVs. They're now going, the hybrid market is the go.
Bigger for now, right? I think in infrastructure.
I think in 30 years' time, everyone's going to be driving a pure EV, most likely.
Yeah, there's funky designs out there too. I'm starting to see like some of the cars, like Ioniq 6. I know you have an Ioniq, right?
I have a 2020 Ioniq, yeah, which is pretty boring looking. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but the 6 is weird looking.
Yeah.
The 6.
Yep. Even the 5 was, the 5 had that 80s look, had that 80s, iconic 80s look. Yeah. It was something. So, I would love to get one of those Aptera little
Tira.
Pure EV. It's a futuristic solar. It has solar on the roof and everything. So
it looks like an airplane without the wings.
Yes,
basically.
Yes, it looks like an airplane without wings. Yeah. it's great. I would love to get it. And it's cheap. It starts from 20,000 or something. And they claim, you'll never have to charge it because it's got solar panels. Yeah. But I've actually done a video on that doing some calculations. Yeah. It's like, well, it's only got an 800-watt solar panel. So if you're driving every day, good luck. You'll be sitting there for three days trying to recharge you.
Yeah. There was a Marquez Brownlee video. He did a review of a Prius that has a thing built in, and he was going through some of the math on that.
Oh, it's tiny. The Prius one's tiny. Yeah, it's tiny. It's like 100 watts or something.
Yeah, but it does have. I mean, like, yeah, okay, yes, but it's not. It's not going to like do that, but it's going to. I don't know. I'll link the video in. It was good.
Yeah, it might give you an extra 5 miles a day, maybe. You know, so you really have to be right. Yeah. Yeah. Once again, total lifestyle thing. You know.
Yeah.
But
right.
Then if you've got a power pole in your front yard or a trees or something like that that shade it, you know, like you just, it's just dumb.
Totally.
So. Yeah.
It does feel a little. Yeah, it's a little gimmicky, maybe, but it's interesting.
No, but I think every EV should have like at least a solar roof on it, just for. Just because you can and you should. Mm. I mean, if you've got an EV that can be, you know, slow charge via a solar panel, why not?
Yeah, I mean, you never, ever would be stuck. You would just be stuck for a little while, right?
Well, you might be stuck for a day in theory.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, but...
Yeah, that's true. I guess if you broke down at night.
Yeah.
Well, what you do is you get your phone flashlight out.
No, if you've only got an 800-watt panel... Right, strap your flashlight to the top and now keep going.
Boom, free energy, Dave.
Free energy. Yeah, that's it. Oh boy. So does yours? I asked you this before, but you didn't know it doesn't have vehicle to grid. I don't think it does. I had a quick search.
It does
on
not.
Your,
I looked it up. It did
okay,
not.
Okay, it doesn't.
Yeah.
So it does not even have an adapter to give you like a 240 volt power out.
No.
Okay,
that's right.
Bummer.
And I think they said the 20 that when that gets released, they think it will. Hmm. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because if I bought another EV, I would definitely make sure that it has vehicle to grid.
Yeah.
I was surprised even though I don't want to feed into
Nissan
the grid.
Leaf.
You know,
right. You want like a backup for your house, right?
If you have a house backup, or even if you've, you're going somewhere, you're camping or something, you could, got like a 240 volt outlet there. You can run all your stuff from your car battery. You know, it just makes sense.
Netflix. There's an episode of Parks and Rec where one of the characters has a super decked out tent with all electronics. He's got a frozen yogurt machine in there.
Yeah, right.
Now that's camping.
Yep, that's great.
That's my kind of camping.
Yeah. I know someone, a friend of mine did rock, who was into rock climbing and mountaineering and everything else, and they actually took a blender with them while they were rock climbing so that while they were halfway up the crag, they could sit there on the ledge and they could blend.
Wow, yeah.
They could actually get a fresh smoothie.
That's extra.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, I don't think they did that all the time. They just did it because they could, for kicks.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
See,
but
just
yeah,
for gimmicks. Yeah,
it's great.
That's still fun. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Good stuff. All right. Welcome to the club.
Thank you. Yes.
Which is now not cool anymore.
There are many of us, yes.
Yeah. Hybrids. Yeah, because Toyota, I think, were the ones who held off for the longest in pure EVs to make their decision to generate pure EVs. And now they're being proven correct because all the other manufacturers are going, because some of the other manufacturers are going, we're going to make every car is going to be pure EV by 2026 or something, like that, some crazy, timeline or something. And Toyota went, And now all the manufacturers are going, I think we'll stick with hybrids.
Oopsies, going back.
Especially here in countries like Australia, you know, because we just like, because, you know, the vast distances here, and we can't go on a road trip with a pure EV. Well, you could, but, you know, it's pretty iffy.
The range anxiety. So I did look it up. Nissan got a firmware update, Nissan Leaf, and they do have vehicle to grid. So.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, there's...
But, you know, doesn't fit car seats very well, so...
That's an out. Sorry.
Okay, all right. Sorry, so you actually checked that one and you actually ruled that out based on the seats.
Oh, yeah, no, I had a spreadsheet, man. I had a spreadsheet all the back... Like, the back seat, like, headroom, shoulder room, foot room. All right. That's all you care about.
No,
that's
boot space, dude. I'm telling you, boot space is everything. How many liters does that sucker have? I need to know.
I don't know.
What is it? A Chevy Bolt.
23... 1LT, we don't call it that. It'd be trunk space. It's not too bad. 6.6 cubic feet. What's that?
6. Hang on. All seats in place. 16.6 cubic feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. 16 cubic feet. Feet cubic to meters. Liters.
Hmm.
470, that's okay.
Volume value by 28.317. Okay. Well, there's a multiplier factor for the day.
It's the multiplier of the day. Yep. Yeah. 470 liters. There you go. That's all right. That's all right.
Good?
Generally, anything over 500, I would consider, you know, pretty decent.
I got two suitcases and a backpack in there this afternoon.
Nice.
When my parents went to the airport.
Oh, speaking of bloody cars, my Nissan Dualis 2010 model, which is a seven-seater. We got the seven-seater for the extra boot space. I think ours is about 550 litres, by the way, for those playing along at home, which still isn't quite big enough for some of our bigger trips. Like, we have a pod which goes on the top, and, you know, sometimes we've had to take the pod, especially when the kids were smaller. You know, we have more stuff to take, but now that they're older, we have gotten away without the pod in recent times, but barely. First fault in that. First ever fault. I've uploaded videos on my second channel for this, but you don't watch my videos, so that's all right. I know.
I watched the title Swiss whoosh by.
Whoosh by. Anyway, what would happen is you turn the car off and there's still a noise. Something's still running, even though you pull the key out. Yeah, something was still running. So I took a look. It turns out it's the ABS modulator. So the anti-lock braking system, it's the modulator box which modulates the hydraulic pressure or whatever it is going to the brakes.
Oh,
right?
Man. There's a great segue into car talk right here.
And so, you know, I put this up.
Don't drive
and everyone,
back my brother.
Of course, everyone knows. Everyone was going, oh, it's the relay. It's the MOSFETs. It's the, you know, it's – anyway. So
– encabulator.
A turbo encabulator's failed, yes. Right. And, so that's failed, right? And so I was able to bypass it by removing one of the fuses that powers the electronics, which powers it, right? And
wait a second. So you bypass the ABS in order to fix this noise problem?
Yes. We have no anti-lock braking at the moment. But but because anti-lock – people don't know this. Anti-lock braking systems don't actually apply the brakes. They release the brakes.
That's right. They go.
So so you can pump it. Yeah. They actually pump the brakes by actually releasing the pressure on the brakes. Yeah, so when you bypass an ABS system, you're not actually bypassing the brake system. You're just bypassing the ability of the
modulator. You're just switching
modulator.
Into like manual mode, right?
Yeah.
You're just,
Yes. Yeah. So now if we're in if our car is actually, you know, in some sort of skid or something, we need to manually pump the brakes instead
pump
of it doing
brakes,
it for
yeah.
us, you know. So
there you go. There's a phrase that you know, people, I feel like
pump the brakes.
Is a phrase that people know, but they don't maybe don't know.
Oh,
the,
no, it's
the
black eyes.
It.
We've hit some black eyes. You know, start pumping the brakes to try and so you don't skid as much.
Yeah,
you're definitely still going to skid, but, you know, anti-lock. It just means the wheels don't lock up, and, you know, hence the name anti-lock braking. Yeah. So anyway, we're bypassing that, and then, so I phone up some repairers, and everyone warned me about this. Everyone says, "Oh, dude, that's not cheap." So I phone up some repairers, and they're going, unfortunately, it's serialized to the car, right? So it has active electronic serialization and programming in it. Yeah. This is like 2010.
Call up Lewis Rossman. He's going to, you know.
Right. Yes, he'll have a rant
right
about it.
Right to repair.
Yeah. Right to repair, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I phoned up several repairers and they all said, oh, yeah, they're all serialized. And even then, you have to possibly get like several different wrecked ones to try and get one that works or something. Gosh. And it's like, and it's thousands of dollars. So I do have it booked into the manufacturer. So I'm going to go in there and I'm going to pay like $150 and they'll check it out and see if it's, and they'll give me a quote, which I'm sure will be astronomical. So yeah, we've got it.
I haven't owned a car in so long, Dave. This is just like, yeah, this is the kind of shit I don't need in my life. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I do believe it is failed MOSFETs in there. I'm pretty sure it is, but I can't take it apart because it's so embedded, like modern cars or so. Like you can't get your hands in there.
Yeah, they're modules, right? They're basically like rip and replace kind of things, right?
Well, it's mounted on the back of it and it's right down behind the engine and you'd have to jack it up and come from the bottom of the car just to get access. Like, oh God, they're so... Everything's so jam-packed inside a modern bonnet. So, yep. Anyway, so I suspect that it's going to come back and they're going to say, oh, it's $3,000, and we're going to go, well, a 14-year-old car, is it worth spending $3,000 on a 14-year-old? Yeah, I might spend $1,000.
Put it out the pasture.
$1,000 maybe to keep it going. But, you know, if it's a couple of grand, yeah, we're going to. And then is anyone going to buy one that has a faulty ABS?
You would be surprised.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Because the used car market during COVID, the used car market went gangbusters. It was
totally.
They cost more than a brand new car, but now I think it's back.
Yeah.
I think they come back to normal now, but yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we might be in the market for another car, and yeah, we were thinking about a pure EV. But nobody makes one with a big enough boot space, and if they do, it's like $100,000+, you know,
that's right.
It's crazy. We'll probably end up with maybe some hybrid or something, or we might, you know, just buy a second-hand one.
Time to make
electric
yourself, Dave. Come on.
Make my own electric. I had a friend who made their own electric car, yeah.
I know.
This was like 15 years ago. This was like before even Tesla came out,
right, exactly.
Yeah, long time ago. And, that's very cool stuff, but...
We've talked about how you and I would never ever do that for ourselves.
No, we haven't.
Look at other people and we're like, that's awesome.
Yep. I haven't got space to do it. I would not be allowed to have a car up on blocks in the front yard.
No, true.
You know, like, no. So I'd just have to
another workspace with a garage.
I would have to hire another work, like another garage. I'd have to hire a garage somewhere to work on something like that. Yeah.
That's how it goes.
I always wanted to convert a van into a lab.
Okay.
I'm sure we talked about that before.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, we definitely have. Yeah,
that'd be very cool. I still think that'd make for a great video, but, you know. It's not going to pay for the views. Aren't going to pay for the van conversion.
Exactly.
And I'm not really going to use a van lab. So
no,
come on.
Come on.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Speaking of labs, I was just testing a board this afternoon. Probably the simplest board I've made in a very, very long time. It's just a USB. It's basically pilfering the 5 volts off of a USB plug and then generating 3.3 volts just to power a bunch of BBC micro bits.
Been there, done that. Demo. Yep.
Yeah. And basically the hard part was just buying the connectors. The connectors for those things are surprisingly hard to get. There's like, it doesn't seem like there should be.
If it's just a one-off, you bodge stuff. You just cut a cable and, you know.
No, this is for a trade show, so it's got to look nice.
It's got to look nice.
And I'm powering eight microbits at once. So
right. Got it.
That's the real thing. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, I agree.
Yep.
Yeah. I have not used. You've used a micro bit. I remember you did a video with one of your kids.
Yeah. My kids use the micro bit. Yeah, fun little thing.
It's a nice little platform. I mean, I didn't realize how much stuff was on there, and it's a part that I like. I mean, like it's the 52833, I think, is on there
for the
V2 board.
Yeah,
and then there's all the firmware hardware that's built up on top of it and things like that. A bunch of LEDs. So yeah, there's a bunch of tooling out there. And like different educational systems. And you had been doing the robot, right?
Yes. Yeah, we'll be. Yeah. A little line follower robot. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. No, it's a great little platform. So, trying to make that look trade show ready and see how that goes.
Right.
But, yeah.
Oh, I just realized we actually had a segue posted by someone on the Reddit, and posted by Two Scoops of Destroyer. Great name.
As you do.
And it's a software update on a door handle. It's like, is that a Tesla door handle? I'm like, there's a photo of this white door handle. No, because the Tesla doesn't have a door handle, does it? No.
It
has a pop out thing. Yeah, but this is like a proper old school door handle. And apparently they're just showing a photo of them updating the firmware in their door handle. It's like, oh God, no, you're doing it wrong. You know, how to know you're doing it wrong? Updating your, when your door handle needs firmware.
You got to have lots of fancy stuff in there, though. I mean, come on.
God.
Ground lighting and. This is not the Tesla one. The Tesla one is
it's a pop out and it's totally integrated with the door, so it's all flush. Yeah. No, this one looks like it's just bolted on the outside of the door. It's a white handle with a little button on the side, and yep. I don't know. Maybe that's where like the key fob thing is, because mine's got my EV has a prox key fob, so so only when I get within I have to be within like half a meter of the door before the door will open. So or the door will allow me to press the button. So I don't know where the antenna for that is. I presume it's in the handle, maybe.
No, so, I don't think so.
No?
I think it's in the center of the car.
Yeah, you think it's in the center of the car? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, so unfortunately there's no detail on this, so I don't know what door handle. So we can't savage the company involved. I wish I knew which one it was. Yeah.
I mean, it's the thing, like all these firmware updates, like they just pass, like you think about how many micros are on a car these days.
Is the answer.
Right? And they're all hanging off the CAN bus. So there's basically something that's downloading all the firmware updates and then pushing them over the CAN.
And then pushing them locally,
Yeah, right, exactly. And so, like, there's just something there listening, and then there's, like, multiple CAN buses, too. Like, when Ken was on the show, Ken Tyndall was on the show, he talked about a lot of this stuff. You just kind of chuck them down the line and see who's listening,
Right.
here's your update. So I think this is just weird, because this is detached, obviously.
This is obviously detached from the car. It's sitting on the bench or whatever. It's sitting somewhere.
Yeah, right.
They're just plugging in some sort of programmer into it and updating the firmware on the bloody handle. Oh, my God. Yep. Anyway, I can't talk. My 2010 Nissan Duales has to – the ABS system is bloody firmware integrated with the and serialized or something and has to be programmed. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. It's just – why? Well, like, what's the advantage of that? Jesus, there's none.
Features and differentiators, Dave. I mean, that's what it comes down
right,
to. I don't know. I'm not one of them.
Yeah.
I'm like super jazzed about having just like Android Auto at this point.
Oh boy. I don't use Android Auto because it's too much of a sort of like mine does support it, but our phone up until recently we haven't had phones that adequately supported the version. It's version specific.
You're trailing. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it technically does work. But then you've got to plug your phone into the car where, you've got to plug it into the USB port. So that's just more wear on the USB port on your phone. It's like, I couldn't be bothered. So, yep. But technically, I think we can get Android Auto working now, and it integrates with our map display or something. It can show Google Maps, can't it? Can it show Google Maps? Yeah, is that how it works?
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's basically
like not mirroring, but it's like refactoring your phone screen and showing it on the main display.
Yeah. So which just makes it easier to see because the display is, nearer to your field of vision. You don't have to, Cool.
Yeah.
So what is yours like a big touchy feely screen in the new EV?
It is. Yeah. It's like a 10 inch touch screen.
Yep. Got it.
But I just use the Android's auto, so I don't really use the main stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because ours has some weird-ass European bloody or Japanese or something. Or is it South Korean? What is Hyundai there? South Korean, aren't they?
South Korean, that's right.
Some weird mapping system. Like, it's okay on some things, but other things it's like, meh. You know, I'd certainly rather be using Google Maps. So, and it's a pain in the ass. Just the user interface. God, can I bitch about user interfaces for a minute? It's like my old Garmin, right? My, you know, when we, before GPSs were actually integrated in cars, you bought like a little GPS, like a Garmin or a TomTom or something like that, right? And my Garmin would be nice. Like, like you start typing in the address you want to go to, right? So it's like something road, you know, railway street. So you type in R, A, and then it'd give you a list of, you know, and then it would narrow down the list. But my EV, you have to type in the exact number, the exact street name, the exact street prefix before it'll even start to give you a thing. And it's like, oh God, I don't know how to spell. Like, I just want to type in the first couple of characters and then it pop up, you know, it should have like a list, a database in it. That, yeah. It should know that I'm trying to get these amount of roads in this particular state or suburb or whatever. So it should narrow it down, but it doesn't. So you've got to type in the exact street address. And if you don't type street instead, like if you type ST instead of street, it doesn't know. You know, it's like, oh God, you know. Bad user interface design. Like, just awful, awful.
Yeah,
horrendous. It just makes me not want to use it. Pain in the ass.
That sucks.
Totally ruins it. Like, once it's in there, like, I love how it's integrated because mine has the turn directions show up in my center thing straight in front of the wheel, so I don't have to glance over to the main actual display. I can just glance down at the steering wheel and it shows me the next turn and stuff like that, you know. So, which is really handy. So I love how that's all integrated, and then they screw it up by having an unusable bloody data entry system. It's just data entry. They screw it up. Unbelievable. End of rant.
Okay. It's tough, man. It's tough.
No, I can't stand it. It drives me nuts. Anyway.
I have been working on a new project where I'm tapping off of batteries, DeWalt batteries. Have you done any battery stuff like on power drills and stuff like
that? No, that's quite common. Apparently people love to do that sort of thing. But
yeah,
I was
searching for some interfaces, and the most common one that I saw was power wheel conversions. Do you guys have power wheels down there?
What's a power wheel?
Power wheels. It's like the kid toy. Like, it basically looks like a little car, and it's powered by like a little 12-volt battery.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah, like, we had something like that. Yep. Yep.
They were always like lead acid and terrible to recharge.
Yeah, 12-volt
and, like,
gel
always,
batteries or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and they always like lost, you know, it was just trickle charging. And
oh,
they just,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
they
no, they've just got a plug
die.
Pack with a diode and a capacitor, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, they were like very underwhelming. And they so basically, you know, your best drive is your first drive kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, and so the number one thing when I was searching around for like DeWalt battery, so I have DeWalt system for my tools and stuff
right.
like that. So
I've
I was
got
looking
Bosch,
for an interface.
So yeah.
Okay. Yep. Cool. And the number one thing for that is basically an interface to then go and it's got like a fuse in line and a switch in line so that you can go and power your kids' power wheels and then recharge the batteries
nice.
With a lithium ion thing. Yeah. Which is it's great. I mean,
cool. Ah, that's great.
It's like perfect, like, you
perfect.
Know. Like,
perfect.
Dad
make
project.
Use,
you
yes.
know, like.
Yep. Yep. Totally.
That is not what I was doing. I'm looking at tapping off this thing. But I was surprised to see there's other. So there's basically, there's a bunch of. There's like basically just a B+, B-. If you wanted to just be like the, for instance, the power wheel thing, it's just tapping off there.
Right.
But then there's actually balance. Like, so you can basically get at each.
You can get at each cell. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. The Bosch system has four terminals, I think. So I'm not sure what the other two do. I assume temp sensor or something.
Yeah. This one. So this one has a thermistor. It has an ID pin, and then it has four individual cell
pins. Wow, that's a lot of pins. DeWalt.
Yeah, it is.
Let me have a look at the DeWalt.
Yeah. So it's like two main, and they're like, so it's like a blade.
Oh, yeah,
like
that's a lot.
Capture for blade.
Wow. Yeah. Right.
And so it's only really the charger that has the additional pins on it, right? If you look at the drill, it's just like thermistor and the ID pin.
Yeah, so there's five pins. So it's battery plus battery. Yeah, thermistor and ID are combined.
There's eight pins.
There's eight. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you look down the, you have to look at like a dead on kind of thing, because there's there's like underneath, to like separate those.
Oh, so, okay. Oh, yes. So it's got two separate banks of contacts.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, and that's how you get up to, to the four. You know, I think it must be a six cell. It must be six cells for the. Let's see. One, two.
Yeah, it's got terminals marked C1, C2, C3, and C4. So that'd be the four cells, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's good for like balancing and stuff like that. But yeah, it's interesting. I'd really.
Cool. Right.
You know, I plugged this thing into a drill a bunch before, but never really like looked at it.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I remember Jonathan at one of the meetups when I came down to Australia, he had done something similar where he was running a soldering iron off of.
Quite a few people have done the hack to run their, you know, TS100 iron from their drill battery.
Oh, this was a more traditional iron, I think. It was like a Hakko or something like that. Yeah, but it was, all of these things. But it is nice to have like the infrastructure and like the, just like the standardization of the.
I love the standardization, because I've just recently bought extra Bosch items that matched my batteries. So, So I'm kind of obsessed with, Bosch, give me more tools that support this battery,
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, then I was like, so I was poking around and I'm trying to make some custom hardware that plugs into this thing. But then I was like, oh, I wonder how I can. So I'm getting towards talking about 3D modeling and how terrible I am at it. But in the midst of that,
better than me.
I was trying to find like a basically how do I find something that will work with this without having to actually go and do it. And basically you can go on Amazon or eBay or anything like that and just look up like custom battery
Like a receptacle interface, just a bare interface, is there?
Well, it's basically like a way that they're selling all the parts without selling the battery pack so they don't get sued by DeWalt.
Oh, got it. Okay, yes.
Yeah. Right. So basically this thing showed up with basically it's like five 18650 the space for five of them.
Right.
And then this one is a 4 amp hour pack rather. And so it's got a double stack of that. And then it's got the interface and it's got a bunch of boards that came with it. And like a little battery, you know, quasi battery tester thing. That's basically just like a, you know, just testing the voltage and telling it from that. But yeah, pretty cool. And then all I wanted though was just like the interface at the top, but then it also has the little blade receptacles as well. So like that worked out great. And the release, because there's like a fancy catch to actually get the stuff out of here. So
got it.
That was like super easy then. And then, I don't know, I'm just terrible at modeling 3D stuff. So I need to make other plugs here. But I am excited about like the ability to buy this stuff. Yeah.
I just saw that somebody reversed engineered the Bosch charger, the Bosch 18 volt charger here. Wow, that's really something.
I should look
something.
At the Bosch. So it's a Bosch 18 volt?
Yes. Bosch 18 volt.
And it's lithium?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll send you the...
That looks very similar. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. And that's only 5-pin, you said?
It's 4-pin.
4-pin.
Yeah, it's 4-pin.
Okay.
Yeah. So I it's battery plus, battery minus, COD, which I guess is code. And then there's a thermistor pin as well. So I don't know what the COD pin does. I have to look into that. Maybe I can do a video on that, actually reverse engineering. But somebody's already done it. That's the problem. I'm sure somebody's reverse engineered the, they reverse engineered the charger here, but I'm sure they've also reverse engineered the, if there's any code protocol or something.
Yeah.
So.
Just need to get a hold of IC2 on this schematic. Yeah, I can get this link into the notes. Yeah, it's just an image UR. So I'll add that to the notes too. Cool, yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't have any interest in messing with battery chemistry, really. But
right.
But, like, being able to use the... Yeah. It is interesting when you, like... It felt very unapproachable at first, and then when you look at it, you're like, oh look, that's just like a little slot of metal, like the blade is just like a little slot of metal. It's like there's not a ton, you know, they're trying to lower their manufacturing cost, so it's not like a ton that's going on here. It's really just the putting in good batteries and like having all that stuff ready to go.
Yep.
Yeah,
I just found somebody's got a 3D printed adapter that converts a Bosch battery to power TS100 soldering iron. I just sent you the link.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, that's, and that's the thing. That's like when you start to do that sort of thing, now like you have all this infrastructure to go and buy batteries.
Yep.
And not a small amount of batteries either. You have a charger, like a reliable charger infrastructure, or you could build your own, like you showed. And then basically you have like an interface to go and utilize it. So then you just need, I don't know. I'm actually really excited. I think the move to 48 volt automotive stuff, you know how that shift's happening now?
Yeah, that's happening. Yeah. Or they're trying to. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, Tesla open sourced their 48 volt thing, didn't they, or something?
Yeah.
Like that?
So I think we're going to see an interesting uptick in new parts that are more voltage tolerant as well. Like, you know, it'll hit automotive grade at first, but then it'll kind of trickle down in just the commercial level parts, I'm guessing.
You know, maybe they'll test them. Not many things need that higher voltage, though. I mean, there's not, you know, it's not really a big need for it, though.
Yeah, not yet. But, you know, if you're tapping off 48 volt buses and cars, then eventually, too, you know, like you can utilize it. And really just having the headroom is never bad, right?
No, it's not bad because you can get more power out of, you know, smaller traces, smaller wires, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Things like that.
Right. It's just a little scarier for people at first, but then once you get used to it, I feel like it's just, you know, you talk to someone who's worked in 48 volts, like lighting and stuff like that, it's fine. You know, it's just like what you get used to.
Yep.
Just like the linemen that are working, you know, mid-range 30 kilovolt.
Right.
You know, lines are like, you know,
I got no problems with 48 volts. That's fine.
Great. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Zero fear of 48 volts.
Perfect. Perfect.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, boy. No, that's great.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting.
Have you seen the prices of these batteries, though? I don't know about your DeWalt ones, but my Bosch ones are like, Jesus. You know, like, because I got them as part of a pack where I bought the drills and stuff, right? And you get one with it. And it's like, but if you have to buy new separate batteries, it's like, what, $120 for or $150 for one battery?
Yeah, it's definitely like a Razor Blades and Razors kind of model, except the Razors are really expensive batteries.
And if there's one thing that has the third-party ones, devices. You know, you can buy the rip-off ones for $50 instead of $150, but, you know, like, I don't know, they're going to be like crap, right? So,
well, I think that's – this kit that I bought is basically like kind of make your own, you know, so if if you wanted to, you could go and, you know, put your own battery, you know, spot weld your own batteries together. And
well, you make could, your own. But, you know, like the Bosch ones are so good. Like I've got original 18 volt Bosch batteries from my original drill that I used to build my back deck 20 years ago, and they still work. They still work.
All right.
Although the ESR is getting a bit high because I try to use one of them with my new blower. That I've got because I've got a Bosch vacuum cleaner now, and I've got a Bosch blower as well. So I try to use it with a blower, and the blower works for about 5 seconds, and then it cuts out to a lower speed because it can't handle. Obviously, the ESR's not, you know, ESR's too high, and it's just dropping back or whatever. But and that only does it with my 20-year-old battery. But still, like after 20 years, this 18-volt lithium ion pack still works. Yeah. Drill still works. You know everything like.
Would you say your blower kind of sucks?
No, my sucker sucks. My vacuum, my blower blows.
Blower blows, right.
Totally blows, dude.
Yeah, yep. Totally blows. Yep.
That's what she said. Yep. Okay. Right. Anyway, batteries. Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe I can do some videos on that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I found the other nice thing is that people have, you know, like you linked me to Printables thing, which is great. Mm. People have modeled the entire battery as well, which is nice for making interfaces. But now I have to square with myself the fact that I'm not good.
Right.
If anyone out there is a reasonably priced mechanical engineer, I would love to talk to you.
See, what would be an interesting project is like a lot of people when the new that little Rigol 800 scope came out, a lot of people actually did battery solutions for that. And that was
interesting.
So, you know, it makes sense to just if we can do something that slots in a you know, a Bosch or a DeWalt drill battery or whatever into the back of it, wouldn't that be cool? You know?
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah, it is interesting. I watch DSLR video shooters, one of the YouTube channels I follow. Yeah. It's like a camera guy.
Yeah,
and he started making a lot of stuff. He's actually manufacturing now, which is awesome.
Yep. Let me guess, he uses the Sony batteries.
Yeah, the V-type, whatever those are.
Yep.
Like the.
Yep.
Wait, no, not the Sony one. The Sony ones are the ones that I think you told me about. Those are like the Aperture. The Sony batteries. Those are like the two pins.
My lights use the Sony batteries. Yeah, I can plug the Sony batteries into the back.
Yeah, no, this is not that. I was actually thinking of the V mount batteries. So the Sony batteries are just literally just two pins, right? There's no interfaces otherwise.
There's a third one for a temp sensor, I think.
Okay.
So what's a V-mount battery? I'm going to have to look.
V-mount is like, I think it's like a 12-volt battery. It's like, it's from like the higher end, like lighting industry.
Okay.
But then I think they have a low-cost connector for it.
Okay.
I think it's called a V-mount.
Right, yeah. It seems to be lighting, yes. My first hit is like pro lighting stuff.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay. B&H photo, right?
Like, right, yeah.
If your first hit is B&H, you know you're about to pay through the nose.
Like, okay.
Yeah, but they're massive batteries, right? And that's like... And then I think to make your own like interface for the V-mount, it's like the V-mount is like, because I think the as the connector slots in, it's like, it's so that you can kind of blind mate it so that it like it, the V is so that it,
right, it looks
basically however it slides
complicated.
In.
I don't actually, I'm not seeing photos where I actually get what it actually looks like. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, like you see like a triangular blade, not a triangular, it's like a trapezoid blade. Like that's
there's something like that, but it's look.
Yeah. Yeah. So V mounts are very, they're expensive batteries too, right? They're like high end expensive batteries used for like photo shoots and stuff like that.
Got
so,
it. Okay.
I've always ignored them. Actually, I just found a thing with Caleb on it. So I'll link that in too.
I'm staring at Google images here and I still don't know how it actually connects.
Yeah,
it looks complicated, but okay, if it's the pro industry standard, then so be it. You know.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that would actually probably be an interesting like crossover thing where like if you started eschewing V mount, right? If you were in the lighting industry too, you probably could start to use like tool batteries as well. You know, that sort of thing. So
But it limits you to the market who carry that sort of tool. Battery, you know, it's like
right.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you did an interface for a Rigol scope, for example, like a battery, you know, battery powered interface, it's like, well, okay, I personally use Bosch, but somebody else uses Keita or something, you know, it's like it's the old you know, make a standard, make a new standard. Okay, we made 15 standards, the XKCD thing. It's like, too much choice.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing that you'll find if you start searching around on Amazon or eBay is that another popular thing is just the converters, right? So like just going from one battery type to another, if you do have, you know, if you're switching between systems.
Yeah,
so
I've that's another thing actually you can look never at. Had to do that, but yeah, I can see why that'd be a, that'd be a thing. No, I've standardized on Sony batteries here in the lab because I've got all Sony, mostly all Sony cameras. And as I said, my lights here, my studio lights can take Sony batteries, but I don't often use those. I've actually gone through quite a few of those Sony V100 batteries or whatever. Like, because I can't buy, I don't buy the genuine ones because they, cost an absolute, like $200 a battery or something insane.
Right.
Especially the really high capacity ones. In fact, hang on.
Those are like six cells up too. I think like the really thick ones are like they're like six cells inside of them, right?
Yes,
they're like real chunky.
Yeah, and the even the thin one, which looks like it has two 18650s in it, that's the NPF 550 I've got here. That's a low profile one. I use that on my low profile lights. But my bigger studio lights, they can take the real big monsters.
And Dave's buying secondhand stuff. The new
year. It's like
nearer.
Yeah, that.
How do you
nearer.
Say that? How do you say that?
I have newer. No idea how it's
newer.
Newer or something? Yeah. Newer. I don't.
It's like newer, but it's got an extra E at the front.
Yeah. It's got a I just call it newer. You know.
Yeah.
Right. Some shit third-party brand, you know.
Yeah,
it's okay. I've actually got some of this stuff. It's okay, you know. Yeah. It's not genuine, of course, but you know, it's good enough for Australia, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, So yeah, I buy I'm actually staring at a newer battery right now. And yeah, I've had quite a few of those fail on my lights, but I think that's because there's a design issue with my Aperture Amaran lights. And I've done a repair video on one of these where I actually repaired a MOSFET, which is part of the charge circuit in there.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was killing my batteries. Like I would, something wrong with the battery. So I buy a newer battery or whatever, and I stick it in there, and a week later that one's died too, because the bloody thing was like a virus. It was, you know, it was like transferring the virus and just killing these batteries, killing them dead. You couldn't freaking revive them, pain in the ass. And I tried to revive them too, you know, like you can put a fixed voltage on them for a set period of time and try and revive the cells and stuff, but no just killed them dead. So only pain in the ass. So, yeah, I rarely use the batteries in those big lights anymore. I only use them on the small ones. Don't trust the damn things. Kill all my batteries, bastards. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it is. It was a nice thing when I finally started to get, like, start demystifying, like learning the lithium ion curve and stuff like that, just like the charging, what you need to do, like being able to put it on a source meter or something like that and just be like, okay, program the current and then put it into compliance and it's fine, right? Yes. Compliance is 4.2 and you're good, right? Like, okay.
Right.
Yeah, that was a nice, like, I don't know, prior to that it was just like, oh, the charger does all the work, and it's like, no, if you learn the curves
and you can do it at home, you know, you can. I've got a video that's a tutorial on charging lithium ion batteries with your home power supply. You know, you put the constant, the compliance voltage so it doesn't go over, and you put it in a constant current mode, and it's, you know, it's going to switch.
Yeah.
And then it floats at that voltage and does a float charge and blah, blah, blah. Yep. Yeah. No, that's cool.
Great.
Yep. All good. It's kind of a bit more complicated to charge a new EV, though. It's a bit.
Yeah, I will not be doing that. Yeah.
Right.
I am curious about what it's going to take to. To keep that battery going. I don't know how that works over time either.
Well, I used to only charge mine to 80% unless I was like going on some big road trip where, and then I charge it 100%, right? Yeah, yeah. But I generally only charge it to 80%, but now I've started charging it to 90. So in the last 2 years, I think. So the first two years I did it to 80%, so that helps the life of the battery, but now it's 90. So yeah, you definitely don't want to charge it 100% all the time. Don't do that. That will.
Well, my power points in my garage aren't working at all, so I'm not charging at all right now.
Oh, right. Well, good luck. Okay. You're going to be stranded in a few days' time.
I'm fine, man. Like, that's the thing. I've used like 60 miles of range so far, and been like weeks.
Okay. So you're still the original charge from the dealer.
Pretty much. Yeah. This is like I'm using dealer power. You know, get my money's worth.
Right.
All the crap they put me through. Ugh. I hate car dealerships.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst. God.
The last thing I was going to say about this stuff is CAD modeling. I would like to talk to someone, but otherwise I think I might try Onshape. I might try and use this as a way to learn Onshape, because I have a really good base model, and I can make stuff to plug into this. And also I even found a model. So I printed the model of the battery. I have that sitting on my desk. Probably, if you've heard me playing with plastic here, it's probably me playing with this battery.
Right.
And then I even found an interface board, like a nicely done interface board or interface plug for that, which actually, you know, it's like has like a slot for putting in the blade contacts.
Yeah.
So that's good. So I have that as a reference point as well. But I have to then go and replicate it. And it's just been like so long that I've been doing parametric modeling that I got to go and like figure out how to copy something.
Yeah.
So,
now I've got a video on my second channel where I converted one of my magnifying lamps. I converted one of my magnifying lamps to use my Sony battery. And let me see if I can find that for you. And because I know you desperately want to see it, Chris.
I'm just always like, you know, I'm out of. Dave doesn't make enough videos. I need to find something to watch. I really hope he sends me. Something to watch.
Here we go. Sony battery lamp hack. It was an exclusive video, but I did actually release it publicly later. So there it is there. And so I was do I design contacts or something for the Sony battery, yeah. Like, you know, like, because I plug in my existing Sony camera battery into this illuminated lamp, right? Yeah, so it's a lamp driving some LED, so it's like a handheld thing. And I went, oh, no, bugger, that's too much trouble. So I just bought a cheap eBay charger and just hacked it to bits. I just hacked out the guts out of it and then just soldered onto the back of the PCB on the terminals. So,
right, and that is the hardest thing, right? And you want to make sure you have
totally.
Like, good
contact. The physical interface, you know, I didn't want to dick around and the tolerances are tight and, you know, it's like, I just want to put this together in 5 minutes. You know, I didn't want to spend a lot of time on it. So, So there you go.
Maybe I should do the same and just like Bondo two of these designs together.
Yep.
in the short term.
It's vastly easier. Yeah. So that was a really
another trade show
project.
Thing, though, Dave.
Oh, I don't know. I've had hacks on the trade show stand.
Yeah. I know. It's all about the movie magic, how much you can get.
Right. Yeah.
If anyone's listening and going to be at Embedded World.
Right. Embedded World
pay
Germany.
No attention to the man behind the curtains.
Right. Yes. Yep. And again, there is a prize if you can snap a photo of Chris at the Embedded World just looking on the stand, just looking sort of depressed or something.
Yeah, I don't know. You can catch me at all this time. I think it's going to be I'm not going to be on the stand that much. So.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Run around.
Are
like
you
a
doing
chick with
secret cutoff. Meetings with all clients? And
secret
stuff.
Meetings. Bingo. Right. There it is. Yeah.
That's the ticket, laddie. Yep.
Secret meetings. But I have lots of hacks. Hacks
right.
with me.
Okay.
Try and bring my CH32 V003 boards.
Excellent.
Untouched since the last time we talked about it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Join the club. Yep.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Well, I think our amp hour's up.
Yeah. Off to do some battery hacking here. That was a lot of battery stuff and car stuff this time.
Cars and batteries. Yep.
Batteries and cars.
Yep. What is your AI image generation engine of choice these days? Because I know there's because we used to use Midjourney, but now there's Gemini will make them. Although it won't make it if you've got a person in it, because Gemini is entirely racist. So they actually took that out. Mm. They removed the ability to generate pictures with people in them.
That was their short-term fix, huh?
Yeah, that was short-term fix was just zero people.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I have not used the other ones yet. Right. I still use this Midjourney.
Right, okay. So, yeah, I've still got my Midjourney subscription, so yep.
Yeah.
Generate those. But
interesting.
The Gemini ones are only small, though. They only generate like small outputs. I haven't figured out how to make like a bigger version of it yet. So
yeah, Midjourney's great because they started doing upscaling and stuff like that, too.
Yeah, you can do upscaling,
you can get like 4K. Yeah, 4K photos.
You still need the paid version for that, right? To get all that fancy stuff, don't you? Or
I don't know, because I'm just like so flush with cash, Dave. I'm just
just
buying throwing
the
money
UAV.
At AI services. Yep. Yeah, yep. You know.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Right.
High end.
Yeah.
Living that high life.
Well, I'm thinking about stopping my subscription to OpenAI because I don't use it much anymore. And
I mean, you could use Bing instead. I feel like this is going to be the.
Yeah, there's Gemini, there's Grok. Like Gemini just works. Like, you don't have to log in or something. You just go there and boom. Well, I'm already logged into my Google account, I guess.
I think there's going to be a lot of like the streaming services too, where there's going to be a lot of like free trials.
You normalized
everything and you'd be like, oh, all right. Yeah, I forgot I have.
I forgot
Hulu
I'm paying
still.
$12
Netflix,
a month towards that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. yeah. Keep an eye on you. What we need is an AI thing to keep an eye on our credit card
scans. Well, that's like I was looking at my account the other day and I went, oh, what's this charge? And oh, yeah, it's bloody open. An AI. I haven't used that in a month. You know,
Yep.
And it's not cheap either.
Have it write your poem, like, Dave. You know?
Yep.
That's all you need. No. Get your money's worth.
Right. Oh boy.
Yeah, no, I think we'll see more and more of that stuff. I heard someone, I think it was on Pivot, Scott Galloway was talking about the like how AI services are kind of commodity.
They're almost commodity now. Yeah.
Yeah, right. We're already kind of like into that space, which is kind of interesting to think about. But like it is, you think about just like all the product announcements you see for just AI this, AI that, where it's just like, oh, this stuff again. Like, why do I need Notion to write some part of a document of just generic stuff where it doesn't know what I'm talking about? Like at that point, why do anything? Like, no, I actually am here for a reason. I'm going to do it. You know,
right.
Yeah,
and the unfortunate thing is that each one has its own kind of niche thing that it does well.
Yeah, right.
You know, OpenAI do a thing, Midjourney will do one thing, Gemini do another, Grok will do another thing for live news or whatever, like summaries and like everything's got it. Like, there's no one to rule them all, you know? So you kind of like, if you're serious about using it, you got to like have a subscription to all the bloody things.
Right, exactly. That's why it's like streaming, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's a pain in the ass. Yeah, yeah, because you can never watch anything. You can't find anything.
That's right, exactly.
I've got five streaming
Services. Right, exactly. Like, how do I watch Oppenheimer? Oh, it's on this streaming service. Okay.
Yeah, well, last night we just watched Ghostbusters Afterlife, and we had to pay for that. Oh, it's like, Jesus, okay. So none of the streaming services that I own. Really? Okay. Just had to pay, you know, $4 or $5 or something to watch Ghostbusters.
That's halfway
Afterlife,
to a streaming,
you know?
A streaming month, right? Yeah. You know, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, because they, like,
the
it was on a streaming
not
service
have any
and,
preferences,
and they've removed it.
Yeah, that's what they're training us for, Dave, to just accept what they give us.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Bend
we have
over,
preferences,
take it up. Yep.
And we need to have the things that we want.
We're consumers, damn it. We have power.
I want it right now.
Oh, God. Anyway, yep.
All right. Well, if anyone's still listening, thanks for paying for this streaming service with your attention and your time. Sorry for all the bad jokes.
Catch you next time.
See ya.